This is Icon Art Radio on KRUU FM 100.1. We're broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa, and I'm Bill Teeple, your host, along with my co-host, Alan Cobb. We've invited Carolyn Waxman, who's a very well-known regional teacher of photography, back last time, or this is a recorded show today. So the last show, which is probably aired by now, talked about her photography workshops, which are very well known around, and what a good teacher of photography to adults she is. I asked her to come back so that we could talk a little bit about her larger career, because she's won awards. She was an award-winning teacher working with young people in the upper school at Marishi School, and she does these fabulous summer sessions with children, which all the mothers bring their kids to year after year. She must have done it for 12 or 13 years now. And I just want to talk a little bit about, I don't know, all of this. How did you get involved with teaching in the first place?
I'm so happy that you asked that question, because this is just so dear to my heart. I think it all started when I taught my grandmother piano lessons when I was 7 years old. Wow. And of course, I charged her 5 cents or whatever it was. She was wonderful. But I think from day one, as a young child, I always felt like other kids needed to have something to do. And I was just there with the ideas, you know, bringing them whatever it was, you know, paper, pencils, crayons, or whatever, coming up with things. This has been going on for as long as I can remember. In particular, I think it was when I was 18, I was in charge of an art division of a camp in Colorado. And I have a picture of myself, again, just the same thing over and over, outside, on the picnic tables, you know, full of art materials outside. And it's been going ever since. I have a degree in art, secondary art, certified. I started out teaching in Anchorage, Alaska, years ago, when I was 20, actually. And that was a program that just started there, and it was a middle school and an upper school art program all the way through. They just taught everything. We taught everything there. And from there, it's history, because I just have to say, jumping forward, we moved here, and with my husband, our daughter was born here. And of course, I just can't stay away from teaching. So I started these summer art camps in a small garage on our property, and they've been going on now for 22 years, nonstop, and haven't missed a year. And it's a one-week session in the morning. But the whole purpose of that is to create an environment for the children to come to feel comfortable and safe, and so they build confidence in their creativity, in their creative, you know, outlet. And in order to do this, I like everybody sitting at one table, and I teach them everything from weaving to ceramics, throwing potter's wheels, creating pots on the wheel, sculpture, printmaking. They tie-dye their own t-shirts out on the lawn. And we do painting and drawing, acrylic and paint with the paints and watercolor and so forth. But the other thing is, I like using the real materials. There's no shortcuts here, because I want them to have the real experience of what it is like with watercolors on watercolor paper, and what that paint does when it meets that paper. And the same thing with the clay, the real thing, you know, what it feels like in the in their hands when they, everything's like a, such a sensuous feel, you know, with all the art materials and how to use them properly. And also when they're together, they just get ideas and they build confidence because they're sitting right next to their buddies and I let them chat. It's like a little sewing circle in there. And they just talk about everything. They talk about their day or what they did this summer, what they did last summer. And they're just weaving away.
Has it stayed pretty much the same things you do every year? Has it evolved over the years?
Oh, I forgot to mention puppets. I have to talk about that.
Okay.
It's evolved to a certain extent, but there's been a kind of a format that seems to work. And I changed it a little bit, but don't change it too much because everybody comes back and they want to do these things. And I do things in a certain order for success. Everything's based on the success of the group. And for instance, like when they come in, I'll have a weaving loom for each person and they can just sit down on their own while they're waiting for everybody else and go ahead and start weaving. And I have to say something about these looms too, because again, I like the materials to be just right so that they don't have to like, you know, have it be difficult to use it so they get the right experience. So I have these wood looms for them and they're, you know, all worked up and then I show them how to make patterns. They learn how to weave. I mean, they can make purses and everything else when they're done and they do. And so in between each of these projects, I let them go out of the art rooms because it's an open air type situation. And the boys like to kick around a ball out there. And then I've got huge, like big chunky chalk things and they just use the cement and they just out there and they, or they can eat something, bring a snack. And what this does is, and none of this is on an intellectual basis, it's all by feel, is that it gives them time to integrate what they just did by moving their whole body. Because if they just sit there and take it in through their eyes and their hands and so forth and just look at things, you know, they're not processing at all. They really are not. They need to go out and they need to run around for a couple minutes and then come back in. And then they're ready to learn something else. Because otherwise, for 3 hours, and you're doing probably at least 6 projects, it's way too much. But believe it or not, when you do it this way, it's not. And they just love it. So that's why I stick with this thing of like they know they can get up and leave, you know, when they're done. And I've got plenty of help. I've got 2 helpers, and everybody's watching the children. So I want to keep everything on the up and up. And there's not. I don't want it to feel like they're at school or anything because this is a summer camp. So to keep everything on this level and keep everything going and the engagement. And they're just in this creative process for a solid week. You just can't believe what starts happening because they are using the other side of the brain. Which side is that? The
right side.
Right side of the brain. There we go. And it's all by feel.
The correct side.
Yeah, yes. The correct side. There we go. And they just are in this process. The other thing, the environment is... it's open air, plenty of light, sunshine, so forth, and a floor, cement floor, and I don't worry about anything. So that paint or those, whatever gets dropped or spilled or whatever, doesn't matter. And it's the kind of environment where you feel like you really can go for it here. You know?
Fantastic. Well, let me just say to the listening audience, if you just tuned in, we're interviewing Carolyn Waxman. And she's talking about the wonderful workshops that she's done for over 22 years that she's famous for here in Fairfield. Now, what age groups take that workshop?
So these are all the little kids, starting at age 5 through, what age are they in 6th grade, maybe 12 or something?
11, I think, 11? In 6th grade, yeah.
And I have them all, believe it or not, I really like having them all in one group because I have the little kids at one end of the table. And even, you know, the girls sitting together and the boys at the other end sitting together. And only because they like to talk about you know, their subject matter when they're doing their projects.
So you find that some start at 5 and then they go year after year
they
and take
stay,
until they...
They stay until they can't, they get too old to come.
Yeah.
They come back every year, And I just find, and it's boys and girls, and I find that they all learn from each other. The little kids learn from the older kids and vice versa. And last year I had such a, I've had great experiences every year. And one of the things that happened last year was there was this older boy that came. He must have been 13, but he wanted to come anyway, and his two younger brother and sister were going to be in the camp. So he came just to be there. And he ended up helping everybody. He was going around commenting on everybody's projects, and we were making masks, and he was telling the little kids, you know, that's really a great mask you just made. Look at that. Look what you did here. And I just love that. And you see that happening with the older kids, with the younger kids. And after a while, there's no age difference at all. I have to say, we're making puppets too.
Yes. You do the puppets as one of the activities?
We have make puppets, and we have a puppet show for the parents on the last day. On the last day, we have a big show.
Where this is a one-week workshop?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 1 week where we have all, I culminate all of their work on a board, and I put their name on it so everybody, the parents can see what they did for a week, and they can, and the kids can see what they did for a week, and they also have a puppet show. And when they're making the puppet, this is at the end because the puppet show is the highlight, I have to say, and also making the puppets. And they come up with their own little skit. You know, I break them up into two or three people in a group, and they go
off.
The
puppet skits,
Skits. And they make a little show out of it. And you cannot believe what they come up with. But they are really good. And it, this is, the puppets are great because it combines so many things, theater and art together, and even music, you know, and they have to talk, they have to speak, and it's very low key, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And the garage is turned into the theater. I have curtains that go across the front, and it looks like an outdoor theater. And you know, it doesn't last very long, but it's just enough experience, you know. But never mind, the puppets are a three-dimensional sculpture, and they learn how to create something that's in three dimensions that moves. They move, and they can, of course, we can get them quite elaborate from the sock puppet all the way to the marionette and mix it up.
That's inspiring. So when do you do this again?
So it will be the middle of June for 1 week. And I don't have a calendar sitting right here. But if anybody's interested, they can call me at 472-8427.
Say that again, the phone number again.
472-8427.
Okay, and they can always contact ICON or come in, and I'll direct you to Carolyn.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate that. But it's just been a great thing. I'll have to say, I was asked by MUM last fall to actually write a course for them, and it was called The Arts Integrated into the Elementary School Classroom. And so these are all going to be teachers teaching art integrated into their academics, into the classroom. And I just have a passion for the arts to be taught in a way so that art can be expressed properly, you know, without too many boundaries, you know, and so that the kids can really enjoy it. And we did some fantastic things in this class. At the same time, I think this gets back to why I'm doing this camp, because I feel that the kids need to have a proper, you know, space in order to create, you know, their work. And if you feel, and then you feel a little freer. Do you know what I mean, Bill?
Absolutely, yeah. You're creating a nurturing ground and giving them freedom, but channeled into a direction.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Well, and there's so much more than art in what you're giving them in these programs. You know, a lot of people think, well, I don't need to study art because I don't want to be an artist. But the process of learning something and going from knowing nothing about it to knowing enough about it to actually be able to do it.
Right.
And in your case, doing that in half a dozen different areas over the course of a week is, it's got to open up a lot of doors inside. And it teaches problem solving, and it teaches so many things beyond anything, you know, directly to do with art, that even people who have no interest in art, they still have to solve problems in life. They still have to figure out how to make things work. They have to learn how to work together. They have to learn how to learn. And these are all right there in front of them in these programs. I think it's fantastic.
It's really true. And I guess the other reason for doing this for so many years as well is just to give these young kids an opportunity to experience all different kinds of medium in every area that I can think of. We even did mosaics. I mean, we've done a lot of different things. Because you find that they'll come back and you know, and say, well, can we do the wire sculpture again? I really like working with that material in their own way, you know. And they find that they wouldn't have known otherwise.
Well, you're connecting kids with media, art media, means of physical expression that they'll never, that they have touched into, and they'll carry that with them through the rest of their lives, whether they end up really making art again. They will appreciate all of the art that they experience and the making of things so differently.
Yeah, and they'll know that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and going along with what Alan was just saying was that this is really almost necessary. You don't want to think of it like that, but it is in a lot of ways, because they learn to organize space. And organizing space is, you have to do that in everything that you do. That means your homework at night. That means in any academic subject and so forth. It crosses over completely.
Right.
You become, you know, more orderly. And I've had moms tell me this many, many times, that once they get done with the week of just being kind of insaturated, you know, with doing art for a week, that the kids continue it at home. They come home and that's all they want to do, but they'll have a little corner in their room, which is fine. And they have all of the art, their weaving and their prints and everything up on the wall or at their desk. And they just become the most precious things to them. And it's actually the most precious things to the parents as well, because it's something they made at that age.
Right.
And it, you know, won't disintegrate or.
That's so great.
It is. It's just like, oh, it's so exhilarating every year. It really is. To see the little kids come, and when they're coming with their they're coming in with their t-shirts from last year, tie-dye shirts.
It's so fantastic to jumpstart creativity for kids now. And the schools are just, you know, this is all being diminished more and more with the budget crises in the schools and all of that. So you're just doing a great service for the community to do art education this way.
I think in schools there's a tendency for people to think that things that are not factual don't belong in school, as, or at least not much. And it's sort of school and information, and the creative side of schooling gets relegated to optional things and elective courses and you know, hobbies and extracurricular activities and so on. And I think it's a terrible misunderstanding of why it's worth pursuing these things, because this is the people who learn to think this way are the ones who are going to get us out of whatever mess we get ourselves into. They're the ones who think outside the box, or even just the ones who understand the box. And they don't necessarily have to get outside of it. But And it's another aspect of it is kids working together to solve a common challenge. And I think it's been demonstrated 100 times over that these kind of task-oriented educational programs where kids are you know, provided with lots of resources, and then the challenge is build a car or you know, something like that. They end up becoming innovators, and they become inventors, and they become technicians and artists, and they just express all of those different facets of creativity that, for some reason, the traditional approach to schooling never puts an explicit emphasis on. And it's so central to how everything works that we should be teaching this. And I feel very fortunate that as the economy, you know, plods along in its weakened state right now, and the schools are all trying to save money by cutting things that people won't complain about too much if they get cut. Meanwhile, you're still doing this, and the kids are still having a chance to get back into the other half of education.
That's right, and I think it's all balanced.
Yeah.
Because you still have a whole person to develop.
Yeah.
And all of the academics are completely important. There's no question about it. And the arts are completely important to balance everything out. And one thing is integrated into the other. You don't know who these people are, the little kids. Mm-hmm. You don't know what their interests are going to be growing up. And I just know from having my own daughter, she is now in an MFA program in the University of Southern California Film School. Now, she's been in theater and art her whole entire life, and yet she's very strong on her academics. So here's a person that, you know, has both sides, and this is who she is, and there's plenty of kids like her out there that need to develop the artistic side of themselves for whatever medium that they decide to go into. Now, let's just say it's going to be anything to do with the computer media these days. It's still learning all of this hands-on artistic development from an early age. Things start being connected, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the tactile, the touching everything, and visual arts, you know, lots of color, lots of textures, lots of different media. And then they can translate that into whatever they want to do later on.
And how else do kids learn about intuitive learning and intuitive knowledge? And it's not all cut and dried information.
Yeah.
There's, in fact, mostly everything happens on that other level.
Yeah. Being resourceful. I mean, that's the essence of of learning an art. It's learning how to be resourceful in a particular area. And the only resourcefulness that's really demanded of you in strictly academic pursuits, it's really, you know, in mastering the organization of information. And yet that's another thing that the arts are doing explicitly right from the beginning, is organizing information, you know, understanding how to use color, understanding how shape works, understanding how the eye works.
Making those decisions.
And solving problems, seeing something that you want to express visually or even just trying to depict something in a completely clinical kind of way that isn't, by some people's definition, isn't necessarily a fine art approach, but it still involves the whole creative process.
Which develops and grows and changes into other things later. But I have to say one thing. Because art tends to be a little bit messy at times, you know, lots of times this is what keeps a school or a classroom, if I can use these examples, or a household mm-hmm. from and diving into these areas because you don't have a place.
Yeah.
And you don't have the way to let the kids explore this because it's just, you know, you have to contain the paint and so forth and so on. And so this gives them a place to come and do that. Because I do big, messy things. And also I do the things that cost the most money, usually. Because sometimes it's a monetary thing as to why you're not diving into it. Mm-hmm. So I want these kids to have the experience of hands-on. In particular, it holds for any age, any era. You know, it doesn't matter if we're heading into the computer age right now. I think it's even more important, actually, to bring them back to something that they have to make totally mm-hmm. with their hands. What do you think, Bill?
I think it should be compulsory, whatever that means, yeah. to have the computer education and the hands-on creative activity yeah. at both yeah. together.
Same.
Yeah. So you're exactly. doing such a great service.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, thank you again, Carolyn Waxman. Yeah. Now we have about a minute. Just say a word or two about the fulfillment in working with the upper school kids. At MUM, because you
so at MUM those kids, or MSAE, which one?
No, either one. Have you you worked at MSAE mostly?
Yeah, mostly. But
that's what I meant. In any case, with working with the you turned these high school kids into, you know, great artists that won international awards.
Yes.
Well, you got a minute.
I have to say something about awards. Awards come from the culmination of the work done before.
Right.
So these are just awards. This is just something that's showing you that you've got it right. It's just been great working with these kids because they pick up everything so quickly. They've got the creativity and the technical knowledge. You just hand it to them. And the concept, they come up with the ideas, I think, is the main thing. The ideas, the concept, is just beyond belief of what they do with the subject. And that's what starts everything going out of the box, and they just start running with it.
Well, it's so great what you've done with all ages.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.